So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tony for some opening thoughts, and then we're going to open the lines for your questions. Let's get after it. Tony, you there?
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it. And it's great to be here for another Final Battle media call. I'm excited for this weekend. ROH Final Battle coming back to, first of all, to have ROH in Columbus, but to have ROH Final Battle, it's now my, it's crazy to say this, it's my fourth Final Battle. And it is one of my favorite events of the year. And coming back around to this time of the year on the calendar and the holiday season, it's an awesome time. So I love spending this time with you, and I want to hear all your questions and hopefully answer as many as I possibly can. So, Jim, maybe we just jump into the questions. And anybody who I don't get to, hopefully I'll see you at the Scrum, either here at Final Battle or at World's End, or get a chance to answer your question soon. But today I'm going to try to answer everyone I can. So with that, Jim, we can jump into the questions, sir.
Okay, let's go, Tony. We're going to start here with Kevin Kellum from Sportskeeda. And then after Kevin and Tony chat, then we're going to go with Jason Powell. He'll be on the on-deck circle from ProWrestling.net. So let's start today with Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
Hi, thank you for the time. Thank you for the time, Tony. Obviously, an exciting weekend for you guys partnering with GalaxyCon, and Ring of Honor has a lot of partners, obviously with AEW and different things going on here. A shakeup recently in the wrestling industry this week with a new player, with TNA getting a new TV contract. People that obviously fans want to know, when is Ring of Honor going to get a possible new media partner to work with and maybe even be presented in a different format or a different platform where people... Is that still something that's in the works? I know it's something you've discussed in the past.
Yeah, I have had great offers to put ROH on TV. Right now, we have a streaming service, and I have had opportunities at times to move ROH to TV and from great media partners. But right now, we have to look at the AEW situation. AEW's got a media rights deal with a $500 million contract. And given that I have a $500 million contract to produce wrestling television, I really want to make sure I get good rights fees and that the situation for ROH is not necessarily equal to what we get with AEW, because it's fairly historic for a challenger wrestling brand to have the kind of media rights that we do and the kind of following that AEW has. ROH, I'm very interested in having an ROH TV show. I think that the media rights have to be certainly not necessarily equal or definitely not greater than, but I do think I want to get a rights fee that makes sense and the perfect situation with a media partner. And we've had really good conversations with big companies, and then we've had conversations that did have some good money behind them that I didn't think was the right partner. And the thing about AEW that is so important to me is we have the perfect media partner. Warner Brothers Discovery has been so great to AEW. Mr. Zaslav's been so kind. And also, you know, long before Discovery had joined Warner Brothers, we've had this great relationship with Warner Brothers and TBS and TNT that goes back so many years. And it's now a really cool thing to be able to look at it and say, this is a part of wrestling history, to have the legacy of wrestling on TBS that goes back to the 1970s. And now we've been doing AEW Dynamite for over 6 years. And we've had years of episodes on TNT with AEW Collision now. And of course, Dynamite had started originally on TNT. And we've had over 170 episodes of AEW Rampage at that point on TNT. So we've done great things with TBS and TNT. And right now we're producing 4 hours, two shows every single week, 104 hours of television, plus major pay-per-views for AEW. I'm very interested in doing a weekly ROH TV show, and I have a lot of fun working on ROH. I love these weekends, these pay-per-view weekends, and any time that we get to devote 100% of the resources to ROH, because it's a fantastic promotion, and I love the support that it has with the fans. I love the traditions, the great events like Final Battle, and I enjoy putting on the weekly shows, and this year we've been putting some of them on YouTube and getting great reception. So I do understand that we can get more fans watching the shows if they're not behind the paywall. But right now, having our own app and our own paywall, it does bring in really good revenue. And we talked about that at Death Before Dishonor when I gave everybody a free month because I thought it was the right thing to do. And I think in the future, there is likely a scenario where there is a partnership that makes sense. But again, we have to look at media rights deals. They're not all created equal. And certainly for AEW, having hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars coming in over the next few years via TV rights, it's the fuel that really helps this business run. And I think, first of all, I'm very grateful to TBS and TNT, and also any media rights partnership I do, I have to keep that in mind, if that makes sense. So it's definitely a very good question. But I think our media rights deal with AEW is really the thing that powers our wrestling economics. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Kevin. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net is next. And Jonathan Alba from The Takedown on SI will follow Jason. Jason, you're up.
Hey, Tony. When it comes to Zeta Steele, she popped up on Ring of Honor television. Has she officially signed with the company?
Well, I think we'll stay tuned. Zeta Steele's doing a great job, and I think she does great work. She's come out, and we saw that promo with Layla Gray. I thought that was very interesting this week on ROH. Layla Gray picked up a great win against Trisha Dora, and I'm really looking forward to Skyflight versus Shane Taylor Promotions on the ROH final battle event. I think that's going to be a great match and a preview of Skyflight versus Shane Taylor Promotions there. And Zeta Steele and Layla Gray had an interesting interaction there. I think that would be a very interesting match, so stay tuned. We have the ROH episode tonight, I think we'll continue announcing things as far as this weekend and as far as the future. And certainly Zeta brought some good interest, and I'd be interested to see more of her in ROH for sure. So stay tuned. Thanks for asking. Do you have any follow-up to that?
I think that's all Jason had.
Is that all, Jason? Okay, well, great. Jason's a man, and I've enjoyed reading Jason for over 20, almost 25 years. So thanks for asking, Jason. And with that, Jim, we can take the next one, sir.
Okay, so that next one is going to be Jonathan Alba from The Takedown on SI. He will be followed by Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. Jonathan?
Jonathan Alba. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah, this is new. I haven't had my government name used in the media sphere in ever. So thank you.
Is that a choice that Jim made?
I guess it was a choice that Jim made.
That's a choice, man.
But well, thank you, Anthony, for the time. I really appreciate it.
No, it's good, and congrats on the Knicks and the one game winning streak.
I appreciate it, man. Happy holidays to you and to your family. I want to follow up on the media rights question with Ring of Honor, because I thought you gave a really interesting answer there. The idea of wanting something from a partner that makes sense, with how this media landscape is evolving so rapidly with combat sports and with pro wrestling, and we're seeing there's a lot of money to be made out there, what makes sense, in your opinion, for Ring of Honor to make a jump to a larger platform like that?
Well, I think it has to be the combination of things. It's not any one factor, Jonathan. It's got to be the right fit. It's got to be the right fit. And it's got to be, to me, it's got to be the right media partner, but also the money has to be right. And it's got to be the combination of the two things. And there's times where we had great media offers, and there's times where we've had offers of money. And there's when they line up where it's the right media partner and the right money. Certainly when you get a deal like we've got with TBS and TNT and HBO Max, that's one of those great situations where it's the perfect combination. And we didn't start with that. You know, we started with a good deal, not this really incredibly great deal. We started with a good deal. We had some money coming in, but it was a big startup cost to launch this promotion. But we had some good revenues, millions of dollars of TV revenue, but not hundreds of millions of dollars in TV revenue at the beginning. And then we did a big media rights renewal where then we went from millions of dollars to tens of millions of dollars. And then we've gone from that we signed in early 2020. And now here we are 5.5 years later, and we've gone from millions to tens of millions to hundreds of millions. And I think that's a very good trend for the AEW business. And looking at ROH, I think I'm trying to grow and develop that because ROH has never had the huge media rights and pay-per-view buys and a lot of the things that AEW does have, but they have had some very successful business metrics. They've had some huge live events, and they have had a lot of interest in the product. And I believe at one point, several years ago, before we launched AEW, I think at one point they were certainly the number two promotion, in my personal opinion, in America in the, maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I do think that for me, there's a great history in ROH. And for me personally, I love working on these shows. I love working with these people. I made a comparison to at the Full Gear Scrum that I thought was a very accurate comparison. I think that it's been more fruitful, and also looking back on it, the way that ROH is involved with AEW, I think it's a really good blend right now, and the interaction between them and the balance of how much ROH there is in AEW, and now for the first time seeing an AEW champion coming and defending on ROH with Ricochet coming in defending the AEW national title against one of the greatest ROH wrestlers ever, Dalton Castle, in a program that got started on Thanksgiving on AEW Collision. So that's very interesting. We're trying different things. But comparing this to when Jim Crockett bought the UWF, he got a lot of things. Now, a lot of people have told me that that probably had some drawbacks for Jim Crockett. I will tell you that Jim Crockett, from what I've heard, paid four times what I paid for ROH before inflation. So that alone, now knowing that, I've been able to monetize aspects of this library and this promotion, and also realizing that's before inflation four times, and that there were costs associated with maintaining the syndicated TV contracts. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard. So, I'm being honest. That's what I've heard, and that's a fact that I heard, but I don't know if it's actually a fact. So, looking back, I think ROH, if anything else, for the AEW All In, the ability to use the name free and clear, because Matt and Nick had trademarked it, but ROH certainly had utilized it, and they owned the tape of All In, the original All In show. So now having a clear path, working with Matt and Nick, to have that trademark and to be able to use All In, that's our signature event. And that's where we set the world record for pro wrestling attendance. We sold 81,000 tickets at about $10 million. It's still the crowning achievement in so many ways. And to go back and have two shows with about 130,000 tickets across two events, it's unprecedented. And again, I don't know if that would have been possible to do that way without the ROH acquisition. So we've gotten a lot of great things out of it. But to me, the best thing, just in, again, it's just an opinion, but I thought the best thing the Crocketts got out of the UWF was Sting. And in addition to getting All In, I think probably the best thing I got out of the ROH acquisition was the Briscoe brothers. And now Mark is the face of the TNT network. He's a huge part of this partnership. He's also a Hall of Famer in ROH. And I am very happy about having Mark Briscoe in AEW. And also, I'm very proud about the Briscoe brothers' legacy in ROH, and that I was able to have some small part in it in the final year. And I have to say, I love ROH, but also I'm very cognizant that it may not get the exact same media rights as AEW, but it does have to be something that makes sense. And I would like to put it on TV to get the maximum eyeballs on it, but it has, again, for me to pull it out from a paywall where it's doing very well, and especially this year, because we're having a great year. Even when I got ticked off at the streaming folks at Death Before Dishonor, that ended up being a silver lining because, yes, I took the hit of giving everybody a free month of the streaming service, but it was the right thing to do for the fans. And also, it got more eyeballs on ROH, to your point, because I think we're having really good matches and really good shows, and there's a lot of cool things happening in ROH, especially this year. Some of the best matches in wrestling, matches, you know, like the, what's coming up this weekend at Final Battle, and looking back, great matches like Bandido and Takeshita, and Bandido and Echicero, Athena and Mina Shirakawa, so many great things this year in ROH, and I'm glad that people have been able to watch more of it on YouTube. So I want people to see it, but, you know, I think it's important to look at a media rights deal and say that is this the right, is the partnership perfect for ROH, and are the fees commensurate with what I think ROH can command in the market? And I'm happy to wait. There's not the urgency, because I think we've been having a great year with it, and AEW is doing great things with the 4 hours of TV and bringing in great money thanks to the partnership. And when the time's right, I know we'll get the right deal for ROH too, and it'll make sense. But I think we have to keep evaluating it. So like I said, it's got to be the right combination of the partner and the money and the time. Thanks, Jonathan.
John, thank you. Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful is next, to be followed by Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy. Sean?
Jonathan Sappathan. Sending out an SRS.
Sean, you there?
That's all right.
What about Robin? Let's see if we can get Amy on. And we can try Sean later.
Sending out an SRS.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Hey, Amy. Hey, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, don't try to Amy thin my name.
I'm sure I can come up. Yeah, well, that's good. There's plenty of songs like we can use for your name. How's it going? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually really excited for this show. I have so many questions, and my favorite media call is when I have a hard time picking which question to ask you. So you touched on something which immediately just made it clear to me. Let's do some reflection, if you don't mind. So last year during the World's End media call, you spoke about how AEW would have its best year yet in 2025. And that has absolutely been proven to be the case. But the same could also be true for Ring of Honor. We've seen matches like Bandido versus Hechicero, Bandido versus Takeshita become.
I am not going to say, you're saying that. Don't put those, don't. I didn't say that.
Okay, I will say that.
AEW, I agree. I'm not sure. ROH, I'm doing my best. But man, okay. This is some good stuff.
It's been I'm glad really you think great that. This year. It's been great this year. So again, we've had I these Bandido so matches. Instant classics, right? And they're in match of the year contenders, rivaling some of the best that AEW has put on this year in every poll that we've seen. And we've seen Athena break records, becoming the longest ever reigning champion in Ring of Honor history, and Red Velvet come back with a vengeance to claim, ultimately lose, and now attempt to regain her women's TV title and the unveiling of a new women's pure championship. So can you reflect on this year of Ring of Honor, share some of your favorite moments from this year, and talk about how you tied some of that into Final Battle this year?
Thank you for asking. And I appreciate you saying that. And again, wrestling, so much of it is just opinions. And then when the fans cheer, or when the fans come together and chant, or however they react to somebody positively or negatively, it's opinions that they share commonly. But that is how wrestling is powered, by opinions and feelings and emotions. So I love it. And I'm a scientific person, but then I love that wrestling is the most human of all endeavors. And I think that's why it appeals to people in every country and every language all over the world, and why it's a sport that goes year round and people all over the world are drawn to it. Now, ROH, I love. It's different than with AEW. With AEW, as founder and somebody that's been part of it and backstage at every single AEW show, and I feel like I have my pulse on AEW, and then when the fans respond positively to great things, whether it's big event or a tournament like the Continental Classic, big events like Blood and Guts or some of our great pay-per-views, it feels really great. And you feel that connection with the fans that they love something about AEW that we've brought into the world in the new promotion. With ROH, we didn't launch ROH. I acquired it in part because I loved the company and I wanted to keep its legacy alive. But I am very appreciative to the people who launched ROH and the people who blazed this trail. And having people at work every day, like Brian Danielson and Samoa Joe and Mark Briscoe, that were so instrumental to launching the legacy of this company. I think we're doing great things. And certainly in my time owning ROH, I think a lot of the best memories and highlights have been during this year. I thought the first year the pay-per-views were fantastic, but we hadn't started doing the weekly shows yet. And then we did the first set of weekly tapings. And I really enjoyed those early tapings. And also, I'll open the secret of booking wrestling for all of you here. It's a lot easier to book wrestling shows when you do tapings and you come in with angles and ideas and you film them and people don't have time to get cold feet or go somewhere and get hurt or like have or something happens in between or whatever. It's so much easier when you come in and do taping. So when you look at like a lot of the greatest wrestling companies of all time and you watch the tapings and you look with a close eye, you can see that like some of these episodes were taped on the same day. And I think whether it's classic promotions, whether it was the NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, Mid-South Wrestling, the World Wrestling Federation, the UWF, so many of these promotions, you see that they had a structure and a plan. And I always thought, whether it was in the lockdown where you did like two sets of tapings across 2 days or those ROH tapings, I absolutely love doing those. And it's great when you can do that. But it bears a huge expense. We shot those tapings and doing those tapings cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And there's a reason why wrestling companies that bring in hundreds of millions of dollars on TV still tape shows concurrently in one arena for one set of fans. And some of it absolutely is to give the fans the maximum value on their dollar. At least for me, I know that's why I like to do it and put a lot of wrestling out there. I went out and asked the crowd last night after the show, I've got more ROH matches. You guys are here. You want more wrestling? And they said, yes. And it's great. That's perfect. Cause you know, I can connect with that. And that's how I would feel if I was at a show. But there's a reason why people do it, and it saves tons of money, and it adds up to millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I really would like to have dedicated tapings, but we've gotten into a real, for what it is, I think since the beginning of doing those tapings, this, to your point, in my time, this has been the most complete best year of ROH, where we put on some really good weekly TV shows, also found that rhythm of doing some tentpole events. I thought Global Wars Mexico is one of the best ROH TV shows I've seen. And it had so many great things. And I thought as a TV show, that was fantastic. Now, I think we've also put on some great pay-per-views and certainly some of the big ROH events, whether they, you know, I've saw them on DVD before they were doing pay-per-views. They put on some great major events over the years long before I was associated with that promotion. And I'm just glad to keep it going. It means a lot. But I also think it's a really different thing. It's cool. I like having this balance with AEW where we've been associated with it from the very beginning and understand the history top to bottom. But with ROH, there's moments that happened between the wrestlers and the fans, house shows and things on the other side of the world where I wasn't there for some of those things. And it's cool to hear about them from the wrestlers or understand them. I watched a lot of the shows and I was a fan of ROH, but I wasn't there for everything. So I love working on ROH, and as a steward of the company, it's different than with AEW, but this year to me has been the most complete year for me in the fourth year that I've been with ROH of TV and pay-per-view. And I think the pay-per-views have a chance to be up there with the best year. I thought the first year was probably set the standard with the three shows that were all so awesome, and also to have the three matches with the Briscoes versus FTR, the best trilogy I've ever worked on, and the best tag team trilogy I think that I've ever seen personally would be Briscoe's versus FTR, and that was on those shows, and there was so many cool things there. That's where Samoa Joe arrived here with us, and so many great moments. And for me, this has probably been my favorite year top to bottom of ROH. It's absolutely been my favorite year of AEW. And with AEW, looking at all the years, I can say and point to the growth that we've had and continuing on with TBS and TNT, but now having HBO Max for AEW. If you'd asked me the same question, I could talk at length and bring up a lot of great AEW memories and point to a lot of things throughout this year that I think embody why this has been the most important and best year yet for AEW to build for the future. And for ROH, in my time, I think this has been the best year of TV and pay-per-view top to bottom that we've done. But I also have to look back at the history of ROH, and it's such an incredible history. So I would never claim to be doing anything better than all the great stuff they did. But I'm just, I think we're doing very well with ROH this year. And certainly the people who watch the show are, have been saying that, that they really think this year it's stepped up and been tremendous, which it means a lot to me because we work so hard on ROH and AEW, and I spend so many hours a week on these shows, and especially, frankly, AEW. And I do put a lot of time and thought into ROH, and I care about it. And to have AEW thriving and having a great year and ROH doing really well this year, it means a lot to me. And even though I have different histories with both promotions, I care about them both very much. And it's great to see ROH doing so well this year. And I really appreciate you bringing it up. And I'm glad that for you, these are some of your favorite memories. For me, they're some of my favorite memories in wrestling. But, you know, when it comes to things like Samoa Joe versus Kenta Kobashi, Bryan Danielson versus Kenta, and all these great classics, certainly I nothing I would ever do I could imagine would hold a candle to those, except maybe FTR and the Briscoes and a few other things that would hopefully make a top 10 or a Mount Rushmore of ROH moments.
Thanks, Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it, Amy. We're going to try Sean Ross Sapp again from Fightful, and on deck will be Ella J from A Wrestling Gal. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Tony, a couple of months ago, you were asked about getting Jack Harlow's Lovin' on Me for Blake Christian's theme song, and at the time you said you thought it got turned down. Since then, Blake has posted like a little ominous Jack Harlow gif, and no, he hasn't really clarified it. He hasn't been on ROH TV since posting that. Has there been any progression on that, or is there any other like sort of insight that you can provide on what you might have heard about why Jack Harlow did reject?
I'm still trying. I can't confirm that I'll get it. And I have had the last time I addressed this, I had gotten 1% approval. And I was like, how did somebody have 1% rights to a song? But somebody with 1% gave their consent. So I just need to get the other 99% and I'll be there. So if I can get the other 99% by tomorrow, then I would love to play it, because I would certainly give Mr. Harlow some cash for that. I should have bothered him about this when I've had the opportunity at times through football and different events that I've run into him, but I usually don't like bothering people. But maybe for Blake Christian and for you and Jeremy and the great Fightful people, maybe I should have twisted his arm and tried to get that other 99%, but I'm still working on it. So different kind of 1%er here with this one. But thanks for asking, Sean, and any follow-up or anything to that?
No, I can't possibly think of anything else to ask besides that.
Well, if you got anything, I'm here for you. So since I don't have the other 99% for you, after sending out an SRS for you, I just want to make sure I covered you. Thanks, Sean.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Ella J from A Wrestling Gal is next, followed by Sully Khan from Slam Wrestling. Ella? Hi, Ella.
we're having issues with Ella's. So, Ella, you had a couple questions typed in Slido. If you could please retype those and close the Slido and then reopen it and type them in. I had a computer glitch. Yeah, so well, and then we'll get your questions from there.
Okay. How about Sully? Can we get Sully on? Sully Khan?
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking the time out.
Great. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
I just wanted to ask you about Lee Moriarty versus Nigel McGuinness. Obviously, a big match with two of the best pure technical wrestlers in the world. What are you looking forward to in this match, and who do you think comes out on top?
This is going to be an awesome match. Well, they've had some classics. I loved their match last year at Final Battle, and then they locked up in the technical spectacle on AEW Collision, which was tremendous, and I wanted to see more of Moriarty and Nigel. They've trained together, they've wrestled each other, they have a great rivalry, and they bring the best out of each other, and Moriarty, to me, has been one of the real highlights of ROH this year, and I'm very excited about this match, because I think that, again, these two, I really believe they bring the best out of each other in the wrestling ring. And I know it's a match that both of them really, really want. And it's worked out very, very well that, you know, we get this big match. And it's one of the things that I think will be very different from other matches and other things on the card. And I absolutely look forward to Nigel McGuinness versus Lee Moriarty in the 30-minute Iron Man match. I think it'll be tremendous. And two of the greatest pure champions, two of the greatest champions, I think, in ROH in different eras. And to have that kind of a match and the kind of rivalry that these two have built and knowing the way they feel about each other in and out of the ring, I am really pumped up for McGuinness versus Moriarty at Final Battle. I would expect it to be potentially harder hitting than some of their other matches, and especially with the time, because I think they've tried to out-wrestle each other at times, and I expect a lot of that, trying to out-wrestle each other. But over 30 minutes, frustration can set in, and you have to try different things. It wouldn't be surprising if one of them was able to build a lead and the other one had to fight from underneath. Desperation, we'll see. So there's a lot of things that could happen here, especially given the rules in this match. And I think it's a very exciting match, very different than some of the other tremendous things on this Final Battle card, and should be a great match coming back to this rivalry, McGuinness versus Moriarty. Thank you for asking.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sully. Samantha Shipman from the Daily DOT. Is Samantha ready to go by chance?
DDT. I think it's the DDT.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know the what? Daily DDT.
You can tell I don't have my reading glasses on. I apologize.
That's all right.
No, it's okay, Jim.
Sorry.
Not no, a okay. problem. So I was wondering, obviously, there are so many titles that are being defended tomorrow, but one title that obviously we haven't seen in a while is the ROH men's TV title, because Nick Wayne has been injured. Is there an update, one, on Nick Wayne and how he's doing? And if he is going to be away for a bit longer, would you consider either having him vacate the title or having an interim champion in his place like you did when Red Velvet was injured?
Well, I'll be honest. The timeline on this particular injury changed, which is the nature of injuries. You can expect when somebody recovers, but when it's a bad injury, it can take longer. We've had some of those happening in AEW, and I'll give a few examples of that. And I'm really proud that we've been able to work through and make changes, but to open up, again, behind the curtain of producing wrestling, injuries are a huge part of it. And if you have plans 2-3 weeks out, one injury can change them. Two or three injuries can massively alter the trajectory of plans, but they don't have to alter the trajectory of the promotion. And we saw this in 2020 when we were making changes very often, not due to injuries every time, but anytime somebody had any exposure to COVID or any reason why they thought they shouldn't come to the show, we said, let's just change it. and be safe for everybody, because a lot of people had their families and we were trying to do wrestling every week and never take a break from wrestling, but doing it in a way where it would be safe for everybody's families. So a lot of people with kids at home and older relatives, it was like, we're going to change this to make sure that the people who are here are always feeling safe and good about the wrestling they're doing. And that was the way it was back then. And it led to making changes at times, but they were always the best changes we could make. And it was always in the spirit of putting on the best wrestling show possible. And I really feel like even without having to now take people out of the equation, if they, you know, pop for COVID or something like that, I think it's not, you know, where people aren't constantly being tested, and you aren't getting false positives and things like that, you know, from doing every person on the roster every time they come into work, like, you know, and having a nose swab and things like that. You aren't losing a few people a week that way anymore. It's really down to hard-hitting injuries and things of that nature. And these are injuries that happen in the ring. Nick Wayne got hurt in the ring. It's not his fault. And we thought he would 100% be back for Final Battle. I would have bet money, and I'm not allowed to bet money, but if I was allowed to bet money, I would have bet money that Nick Wayne would be back for Final Battle. And he's not, but I would have, to be honest, at Death Before Dishonor, and I did not know that Nick Wayne would not be back by now. I didn't know that a few months ago that was going to be the case, or we probably would have crowned an interim TV champion for when he is back. We're at the point where I think now Nick is getting close, hopefully, to coming back. And he's a great young wrestler. This is one of the top young wrestlers in the world, somebody I really like working with and I'm very, very fond of, and somebody that has had the mentorship of one of the all-time greats in Christian Cage. And that's my opinion, that I think Christian Cage is one of the all-time greats. And I think I've been pretty outspoken about that fact, that Christian Cage is one of the best ever, and that I believe that. And Nick Wayne, to me, has such a bright future. And everybody who's been around him sees, whether, and these are people I really respect a lot, whether it's Christian Cage, Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, people that I think the world of, they've all praised Nick Wayne to me. Again, Adam Copeland, who's one of the most accomplished wrestlers ever, and is somebody who came into AEW with a fresh pair of eyeballs and immediately took to Nick Wayne and said, this is a brilliant kid, and some of the instincts he has at his age are remarkable. And I've heard that from these great minds, whether it was Christian Cage, Adam Copeland, and one of the best young minds in wrestling, somebody who has years of experience and is one of the most thoughtful, intelligent people in the sport, Darby Allin. And all of them have said to me, Nick is the future, and I see it. I see it in Nick. He is a prodigy. He is legitimately the prodigy. And I would have, at this point, put an interim champion in that position to have the title being defended if I had known that Nick would not be medically cleared by now. But there was no way to predict that. And again, that's not Nick's fault. It's not, you know, he got injured in a wrestling ring. It's not any doing of his. So, and I thought he was doing things the right way, and he's a great young professional. But if I had known Nick was not going to be here for Final Battle, yes, we would have crowned an interim champion by now. And to that point, I am glad you asked about injuries, because this opens a platform for me to address something that you're going to see on the show tonight on ROH. And I wanted to bring this in and talk to you about it. I apologize for not doing it at the start of the call, but I think, you know, the nature of injuries, this is a great segue to talk about injuries and some of these things. The Blood and Guts match, I had to pull a few people from it, and there were changes in the weeks leading up to the event. It affected the women's tag team tournament, and it affected the Blood and Guts. And we lost Penelope Ford, who I really wanted to be in the tag team tournament and the Blood and Guts match. Penelope, I think, is tremendous, and she's been with us since the very beginning of AEW. She was on the original All-In show before I was even here, and she goes way back, and she's also always worked really hard, and she's a tremendous wrestler, and I think she's a great tag team wrestler and a great hardcore wrestler, and I think she would have been great in the Blood and Guts, and I think she would have been great in the tag team tournament in AEW. Now, on the other side of the teams, You had Queen Aminata, who was out injured, and Queen Aminata is a great young wrestler, somebody I really like. And she is somebody who's come in over the years. She was on some of those Orlando tapings that we did, and that's where I first remember seeing Queen Aminata. And she had some injuries then that she bounced back from. She came back stronger, and she became a featured wrestler. She started getting opportunities on television, in ROH, and in AEW. And she's been somebody I really believe in. And when we started this Women's Pure Tournament, Queen Aminata was somebody that, and is somebody that I feel very strongly can thrive in all kinds of matches, whether it's hard-hitting, hardcore matches, singles, tag teams, blood and guts. So Queen Aminata really wanted to be in the blood and guts match. And it was hard to tell her, we don't think you should do it. The doctors are worried about it, and I can't have you in a match where you're in dealing with a serious injury that you got in the ring. And it's been weeks now. And unfortunately, and it's unexpected because they thought she would be cleared by now, Queen Aminata is still dealing with the after effects of that injury. Tonight, we had said we were having the semifinals of the tournament. Of course, we have Yuka Sakazaki versus Billy Starks in the semifinal, and that will happen on tonight's show. I'm very excited about Billy versus Yuka, and the winner of that match will go to the finals. We're going to address this on ROH in a few hours from now, right, on tonight's show. But I have to say that Queen Aminata was not cleared to compete on tonight's show, and she will have to forfeit. And that was unexpected, but we've given her as much time as I possibly could to come back and wrestle in the tournament. And the plan was to have the semifinal match filmed yesterday for tonight's show. The doctors would not clear her to do that match. And Deanna has done a fantastic job in this tournament. And I thought Deanna versus Aminata would have been a great, great match. And the winner of that match is a great opponent for the winner of Yuka versus Billy. So I thought we had a great semifinals, and I think we had a great plan. And there was every reason to think Queen Aminata would be cleared for this, but it goes to show the unpredictable nature of injuries. And that's another person in a championship situation. You asked me about Nick Wayne, who I think is a tremendous young wrestler. I also think Queen Aminata is a tremendous young wrestler. And she was going in there with somebody who I think has been working really hard and doing a great job in these pure matches in ROH, which is the virtuosa Deanna Peraza. So Deanna is going to win by forfeit tonight. And Queen Aminata is very disappointed, but she is going to forfeit the match to Deanna and understands. And then Deanna will wrestle the winner of Yuka versus Billy on tonight's show at Final Battle. So it should be a great show tonight. I'm excited about that. We put a show up earlier this week, a different show on YouTube with some fresh matches and some exciting stuff. I really enjoyed Persephone, the challenger to Athena's world title. Incredibly, here we're talking about Final Battle, and not one person has asked me about Athena, so I'll start talking about her. I think Athena is phenomenal and has been such an important part of ROH in recent years. I think in the last 3 years, probably the most important player, the MVP of the team, has been Athena. And now she's coming up on 3 years as champion and facing a remarkable test. I think Persephone is one of the best young prospects in wrestling, which is why we've been utilizing her so much this year in AEW and in ROH and in our partnership with CMLL. And I loved the great Diamante versus Persephone main event the other night. And I'm really excited about Athena versus Persephone. Athena is coming up on 3 years as the ROH World Women's Champion. She captured the Women's World title at Final Battle 2022. And now we're here 3 years later, and her reign has been remarkable, and it is in serious jeopardy because she is facing, to me, one of the best young wrestlers, somebody who's an all-arounder, somebody who can do every aspect of pro wrestling and has such a bright future with Persephone. And that is a really exciting matchup to me, and they have great history. I mentioned the Global Wars episode of ROH earlier this year. I thought that was a great episode of television, and it was a great tag team match, and Persephone's team picked up the win over Athena's team in the huge Arena Mexico match. And Persephone has had a knack for picking up huge wins in huge situations, and she would be absolutely the kind of worthy top challenger that I believe would be capable of finally ending this incredible reign of Athena's. And if there was anybody this year that stepped up to the plate that could give a great match and a great challenge to Athena and would be worthy of taking that title from Athena, I think it is Persephone. And I'm really excited about Athena versus Persephone. And it's remarkable to me that I've been sitting here for 49 minutes and nobody's asked me about Athena by name after everything she does for ROH, and about Persephone by name going into this match, but that's okay. But I wanted to specifically shout Athena versus Persephone out. And also that episode on Tuesday I thought was excellent. There were some great matches, but really we split the show up basically to give people a free episode and a look at the pay-per-view, not behind the paywall on YouTube. And we put some episodes up that have done really well on YouTube, gotten good audience and good feedback and good, just good reviews, I think, and people enjoy them. And I like putting free wrestling up for people to watch whenever we can, and especially if it's going to help drive the business. And I think there's a lot of people excited about Final Battle. So to recap, on tonight's show, I think that is a change that will be made due to injuries, and these injuries are unpredictable at times. And with such a hard-hitting sport that goes year-round, I try and plan and account for when we think people are going to be back, but with these kinds of injuries, it can be unpredictable. And I want to wish Queen Aminata the best. I know she's wishing Deonna the best in the tournament final. Whoever Deonna faces, we'll find out tonight, whether it's Yuka Sakazaki or Billy Starks, who I think would both be great challengers for Deonna. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Samantha. I'm going to call on Ella J. I think she's back up. Ella, if you're ready to go, we'll go with you, followed by Brian Zylum from Pro Wrestling. I don't have my glasses on. So
that's the torch. That's the torch,
Thank
Jim.
You, PW Torch. I know. Sorry. Thank you. Ella, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me?
Hi, Ella. Sorry about the audio before. I'm glad to hear you now.
It's all good. Obviously, Mercedes Moné, your new ROH Women's Television Champion, is going to be making her Ring of Honor debut, and she will also be at Final Battle. So I'm wondering if we can expect to see her more as a regular fixture on the ROH brand going forward.
I hope so. I absolutely love having Mercedes at any wrestling promotion. She is phenomenal. She wrestles so hard. She's a great star. And to me, Mercedes is somebody who's come into AEW as a free agent and really helped the promotion because she wrestles so hard. People around the world recognize and respect Mercedes as a great wrestler and a great star. And she absolutely sets the bar very high as a professional. And then it makes everybody want to wrestle harder. So when you bring in a great free agent wrestler like Mercedes, to me, it sets the bar very high for the potential challengers, but also knowing the kind of wrestlers we have in ROH, we have some veterans, and especially we have a lot of young wrestlers that are very hungry in the locker room. They want to measure themselves against the best wrestlers. And to me, Mercedes is at the top of the mountain. So anytime Mercedes wants to wrestle in ROH or basically any wrestling promotion, I support it. I am a huge fan of Mercedes Moné, and whether it's in AEW as the TBS champion or her matches in Mexico for CMLL when she's worked for New Japan, with ROH, with Mercedes going over to work for Andy at RevPro. Anytime Mercedes does anything, I believe she can step into the ring and be the very best. And she sets the standard so high for just absolutely what it is to be a professional wrestler, and the work ethic and the desire to travel different places and spread the love of pro wrestling, AEW, ROH, and being a great representative for every promotion she's associated with. I absolutely would love to have Mercedes more in ROH, but her opponent is somebody looking to take back her championship. And it's somebody who has done very well for us in ROH and in AEW, and somebody that's been with us for a very, very long time and continues to improve and evolve, and that is Red Velvet. Red Velvet has also gone down to Mexico for us and done fantastic. And I thought she was doing incredibly well when she got injured. And speaking of these injuries and these unfortunate timings, that's where we made the change. That's where I decided to crown an interim champion. And Mercedes stepped in and won that interim title from Mina. But I thought Mina was a great choice to be the interim champion. Obviously, given some of the rivalries and the matches that happened, I thought Mercedes and Mina was very significant for a number of reasons. They have a great history between them. Mercedes certainly has her own history with Mina's partner, Toni Storm, Timeless Toni Storm. And I personally think that Red Velvet was on a roll when she got injured. And it's going to be very interesting because they had a tremendous match on AEW. And it was on worldwide television. They tore the house down. And now to have a rematch, both of them learned something from this first match. They're both very intelligent wrestlers. I think they'll take things that they learned in that first match and bring them into this match where there could be even more exciting counters and reversals. I thought the finish of that match was tremendous, and I can't wait to see what they have planned for each other when Mercedes wrestles Red Velvet hours from now at ROH Final Battle, and we crown whoever it's going to be, the TV champion. But I think they've both been great TV champions, and that's what's exciting about this, where you get somebody who's a top star in wrestling giving a rematch to somebody who, to me, is a very exciting rising star that is having probably her best year as a professional worldwide in Red Velvet, taking on a person that is atop the profession in Mercedes Moné in what should be an awesome match. And after the great match they had on TV, I expect they'll step it up and have an even better match at Final Battle after they've gotten to know each other and learn each other's moves and study each other. I think it'll be even better. And they're both great students of the game. They both work really hard at it. Mercedes Moné and Red Velvet, they both study tape and work out in the ring a lot. And that's the kind of match that I know the whole locker room, men and women, are going to want to see, because those are known to the AEW and ROH people as being two of the hardest working, two of the best professionals in either company, AEW or ROH, or any locker room they're in. So I'm really excited about Mercedes defending the TV title against the former champion, Red Velvet. And whoever comes out of that will certainly be a very deserving winner. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Ella. Tony, we got about 4 minutes. Can we end here with Brian Zylum from Pro Wrestling Torch?
Yeah, let's see how it goes. I'll try to get as many as I can. I'll see if Brian, what kind of question Brian's got here.
If you want to go longer, we can. I just want to make sure you know what time it is. So, Brian, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Tony, I actually did want to actually close on Persephone that you kind of stole my thunder earlier, but I'll try to make this quick. Tony, Persephone has really grown this year, and now she's stepping into an opportunity where she's wrestling Athena on this Saturday at Final Battle. With the partnership with CMLL talent coming in ROH, how do you see this kind of partnership and collaboration shaping the identity of ROH moving forward?
Well, that's a tremendous question, Brian. And Persephone embodies the kind of great wrestlers that we're bringing in. And Athena, Red Velvet, Lee Moriarty, Commander, so many great wrestlers in ROH and AEW that have gone down and represented the promotion. A lot of stars from certainly AEW, with former ROH world champion Claudio Castagnoli, who picked up the big win in the main event of AEW Dynamite last night, and also last week picked up the CMLL World Heavyweight title. And having great wrestlers from AEW and ROH competing in CMLL and then coming back to AEW and ROH with that experience, and then bringing the top wrestlers in from CMLL to compete here, people competing at the highest level, it's very, very exciting. And we've seen Máscara Dorada now having fantastic matches, somebody who's a regular in CMLL. Of course, Mystico has been a huge part of the show. They teamed up with Neon and Sky Team to retain their championships at the start of AEW Full Gear. It was great to see Sky Team in AEW. great stars from here have gone down and fulfilled a dream for them to compete in Arena Mexico, representing our companies, where you've got great people who've been champions in ROH with Commander and Bandido, our world champion, who's also been a champion in AEW, and having these great wrestlers competing, representing us and competing and showing that they are also some of the top luchadors in the world, and they wrestle every week with us in America, and they're going to be wrestling on this pay-per-view, and in this case, they're going to be wrestling each other in that Survival of the Fittest match. I'm very excited for it, and working with CMLL has been a great blessing for both AEW and ROH. I think some of the best events for each company were in Arena Mexico this year, with Global Wars for ROH and with Grand Slam Mexico, which was the most successful AEW Dynamite episode all year, and really in many, probably in many years all around, and one of my all-time favorite events. And to think the great things we were able to do together just in that 1 week in Arena Mexico, it's pretty remarkable. And the partnership bears fruit year-round for both sides. And most of all, I have a lot of respect for Salvador, and that's how it got started. It was a few years ago, Rocky got me and Salvador on a Zoom, and he told both of us, I think you're going to like each other a lot, and it would make sense for AEW and CMLL to talk. And that led to Mystico coming in for the first time. By now, I think people have figured out I'm a big fan of Mystico, and I was a big fan of CMLL coming out. I've talked about it a little bit, but when I was in college, I was a huge CMLL fan, and now to be able to work with the promotion, it's unbelievable to me. And Mystico was one of my favorite wrestlers ever, and now to have Mystico come in and wrestle with us, and his partners that are such young, great professionals, Neon and Máscara Dorada, who's really feels like somebody who, much like with Hechicero, and hopefully now Persephone, people that are great representatives of CMLL here, but also are starting to feel more like they're part of our locker room. And by the end of this show, Hechicero and Persephone could be the world champions. And that would be great. I think they both are great representatives of CMLL, and they're both here every week basically now, and we love them both, and I'd love to keep them here as the world champions. So CMLL continues to send top talent. We've had AEW wrestlers and ROH wrestlers competing for championships there, and now CMLL wrestlers competing at the highest level in ROH and in AEW. I'm really proud of the partnership, and CMLL continues to thrive, and AEW and ROH, we're really proud to work with them, and they've been great to us. Thanks for asking. I guess I am over the time, so I would just say I'm really grateful to all of you for being here. Jim and Robin, thanks for moderating this. And it's been great talking to all of you about ROH Final Battle. I know I'm at the time, but I tried to answer as many questions as I could, and hopefully got some good answers for some of you, and I enjoyed catching up with some of you. And I hope to see a lot of you at GalaxyCon tomorrow night at the show, hopefully in person, and I'll try to answer every question I can. I'm staying in town anyway because we have Collision on Saturday, so I'm going to stay. It'll be as many questions as you want to ask me. Basically, for the most part, I'm going to answer, make sure every one of you that's at Final Battle gets to ask something. And then I'll probably talk to a lot of you again soon because AEW World's End is at the end of the month. It'll be a great way to end the year on a super high note, I believe. And we're having, as we said, a tremendous year in AEW, but also a tremendous year in ROH. So I'm hoping to have a great Final Battle, and I really appreciate you all covering these promotions. It would not be possible to share the news and talk about the shows and get the great connection with the fans without all of you as the media covering the shows and writing about the shows and giving your opinions. And I always like to hear your opinions. And when they're positive, it means a lot. And if they're not, then I want to learn from it and try to find what I can do to make you enjoy the show or to find what you want to see. And I love listening to the fans. And I think we're having a great year. Like I said, wrestling, when you come down to it, it's just about opinions, and not, they're never all going to be the same. But if you get most of the people in arena cheering one way or another. That's what you want, is that connectivity when an audience is sharing the same emotions. And I think we've found a lot of those things together this year, and there have been some great moments in AEW and in ROH. And I'm really looking forward to this pay-per-view. So again, I hope to see some of you at the scrum after, and then hopefully you stick around for Collision on Saturday, which is going to be an awesome, awesome show. I could talk about Collision and do a whole scrum on that with you, do a press call with you about that. But I hope to see some of you this weekend. And then if I don't, I'll catch up with you all on the media call going into World's End and the scrum after World's End if you're there at the pay-per-view. And Jim, thanks again to you and Robin for putting together this great call.
Well, thank you, Tony. We really appreciate your time today. And thanks to everybody who joined us. As Tony mentioned, we are now at the end of time. So we're going to be distributing an audio recording to all attendees here shortly. So be looking for that. And as Tony said, you know, we hope and he hopes to see you this weekend in Columbus, Ohio. And on behalf of Tony and Ring of Honor, our deepest thanks for your time today and all that you do to support professional wrestling, AEW, obviously. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you, and we hope to see you tomorrow night in Columbus for Ring of Honor Final Battle. Best always. Thanks.